Good morning. I'm Chad Holmes. Monday morning, 1 week away from Christmas. It is the Holmes Show.
Why are you doing that countdown to me? I'm still working.
The thing about it is, the voice you hear, I'm sure, almost needs no introduction. Mayor Katie Rosenberg. Isn't it amazing? Because I did some traveling over the weekend, and my traveling companion, who is just down the hall, because we went, as I mentioned, we had our holiday party down in the Dells, and we're driving on Saturday, and she's looking, how green it is here in December.
It is so weird.
And we have no snow, but it's craziness, but the final time here in 2020.
It feels like it was just Christmas, though. Like, what happened this year?
You have no idea. I'm going to say this right off the top. Ooh. If you think time is flying now, wait till you get a few years older. I tell you, I can't believe 2023 is over as well, because I can't believe, you know, if my Toteberg another year goes off. It's craziness. But again, thank you for coming in.
Of course.
Always nice to have you in every month and to be able to talk about what's going on here in the city of Wausau. I want to ask you, it's going to be a little bit different now as the next few months, because you're going to be in the midst of a campaign.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's different.
Well, no. It's just that, And I know that you agree 100% with the idea that for democracy, that everybody that is running, we're going to bring on and we're going to talk about it, because
I agree in you keeping your FCC license too.
Exactly, but just generally, I just think it's good that we are able to. I really enjoyed talking to Doug Dinney last week, who of course is running against you, and I know that you're not going to put a big smile on your face, because it's an interesting time when you run for office, when you have, you're trying to get the votes, because so much of the time you're trying to solve problems, you're trying to do things, and then all of a sudden you have to kind of run for office.
I got to tell you all about the stuff we did, and now I have to remember.
No, but I mean, it's just one of those things where, you know, all of a sudden, instead of, you still have your job to do, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
And how do you try to, what changes for you now over these months when you're, not one time, you're the mayor, and you're also a candidate for the mayor at the same time.
Yeah.
Could you maybe give the people a little sense of how you kind of do your time and what's going to be like for the next few months?
I will tell you, so last year when the governor was running for re-election, I had the opportunity, and I said, running for re-election while governing sucks. And he looks at me, he's like, yeah, it does. And I was like, what are you doing? He's like, nah, I'm just not sleeping. So, you do have to take time for yourself. That's one thing I've tried to do. So, every Monday night I try to sleep 12 hours, and then that gets us through the week, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kidding. I sleep a little bit more than that. But, I have had to set some hard boundaries on work. Mm-hmm. Often I will, let it spill into the night, and now I have things to do. I have to stop by people's houses and get their signature for nomination papers. I have to work with my campaign manager to make sure we're on message. He's doing this work while I'm at work. So it's really important that we're kind of on the same page there. So it's just a lot of coordination and making sure that the people understand. I've had people come to City Hall and want to do and want to talk politics. I'm like, I can't do that here. I'm so sorry. And I'm sure you've seen that one episode of Parks and Rec where Leslie's out the back door. And, I also don't want to do that. So it's education for everyone.
Last week when I did have Doug Dinney on, and the first question I asked Doug, and I said to Doug, I introduced it this way. I don't know if you're a big political history buff and media history buff, but one of the more famous, candidate interviews, at least in my lifetime, came back in like 1979. Roger Mudd was talking to Ted Kennedy. Mm-hmm. It was Ted Kennedy was running against President Carter for the nomination of the Democratic Party. And it was a very simple question. And Roger Mudd said to Senator Kennedy, why do you want to be president of the United States? And he basically did not answer it very well, and it really took away some what he had early momentum. It was really a poor response. And I asked Doug why he wanted to be mayor, and I'm going to ask you again. It's a little differently because you've already won the job for a term. Why do you want to continue to be the mayor of Wausau?
Yeah, I'll say the number one reason I want to continue is I have a couple of projects I would like to see finish through. One of those, or maybe two of those related, are the water issues. I think we put a lot of effort into that, and I'd like to see us get through. If we can get this done in 5 years, perfect, amazing. There's going to be other issues we have to work on, but that's part of what I want to finish. But, we have some other things we want to do. We have a new strategic plan. We're talking about how do we make sure we're measuring up against that. Mm-hmm. We have the plan. I want to make sure we now have the criteria, and we're regularly talking about it. We have right behind us, this development. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to continue that discussion, and not just on some of the discussions we already had, but future discussions. We talked, that was one block. Now we got to talk about the other seven. So, like, let's keep going. So I think that's what I really want to do. I want to finish up some of those projects that we've worked on and have a thoughtful way through this. I think mm-hmm. I want to say we've done a great job, but, you know, it's been flanked by crisis in every possible way. We had COVID, we had water, we had all of it. So here we are.
And that, real quickly, it's going to be very fun to watch the continuing development mm-hmm. out here. And even just the last couple of months, seeing the Children's Imaginarium come to life.
Oh my gosh, isn't that amazing?
And real fast, we'll be having Julie Bowman, the executive director, awesome. On later in the week to talk about that. But it is just, it's wonderful to see even those small steps. And mm-hmm. I know there's a frustration factor, it's not going quicker, but at the same time, as we take those steps, I think it's very good for the community mm-hmm. as well. You mentioned, let's go with the water, because I think it's going to...
Let's do it.
Well, obviously, it's going to be a major topic mm-hmm. for the next few months.
There's no way it can't be.
Right, exactly. It's going to be a topic for this election, but it's also just a topic generally, even if there wasn't an election, because mm-hmm. it's going to be out there.
Oh, yeah.
What do you, when you said it, you go knocking on doors, you know, getting people to sign those nomination papers, and you just generally, as the mayor of Wausau,
yeah.
need to talk to folks, and mm-hmm. then they come up with questions. When you get to talk to folks, yeah. maybe what is the biggest either misconception or the thing that people may not have all the pertinent information on, and when it comes to the water issue, that they'll come to you and they'll say, whatever it may be, what is maybe something that you have to talk about with people to educate them on what's going on with the water issue here in Wausau?
Yeah, I'll say, first of all, knocking on doors, super rewarding talking to people. It's really nice to talk to real people about some of these issues. And they're very
Are you saying I'm not a real person to talk about
You're
these
You're a real issues? Person. but I only get to talk to you once a month.
I know.
So,
I know.
You know, I get to talk to people every day now.
And you don't have to knock.
On purpose. Yes. I just walk right in.
I'm sorry. Continue.
No, that's good. But, you know, people are more educated than maybe we give them credit for sometimes. And so, you know, I do hear some complaints a little bit about the water rates, which is fair. You know, it is a heavy lift across our community to make sure we're paying for this. But once we talk a little bit about it, you know, they get it. They're not saying stop treating us for PFAS.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying, let's just get her done. And I would say, like, the bigger question I get is, when are the polluters going to be held accountable?
Yes.
So I'm really glad that as a council and as a city, we're still in that multi-district litigation. We have our lawsuit filed in Marathon County Court. We're continuing forward to push on this. So I'm really hopeful that, you know, a little later in this winter, we're going to have some good news eventually on a settlement. But, you know, we'll see. But that's what I'm hearing a lot about, is the water, when are the corporations going to pay for this?
That is, I think, one of the biggest questions, because how do I put this? When you look forward, because I think a lot of it is always, no matter what, mm-hmm. we're always looking sort of at a snapshot of where we are.
Yeah.
As we look forward, either a year from now, mm-hmm. 5 years from now, 10 years from now, how will your way of working the water issue be, you know, different than maybe some of the criticisms, where mm-hmm. I think that there are folks that are saying, well, we don't have to go to the levels that you've gone to in terms of trying to, you know, to solve this issue. How, maybe if you put on your binoculars and look ahead maybe 5 or 10 years,
sure.
how is our community going to be different maybe in the year 2033 because of the policies that you and your allies on the council and in city government, as opposed to trying to just barely get by, to try to stay ahead of the regulations and maybe make the make the fixes not quite as bold as maybe you have done?
Sure. Yeah, it would be easy to sit back and be like, well, we don't have to do this right now. Let's wait until we have to. And, you know, the longer we say that, the more expensive it gets. And just the way we don't have access to the resources. So right now we're looking at the Environmental Protection Agency is going to start regulating PFAS at 4 parts per trillion. And I don't know exactly when that goes into effect. I think we have a couple of months. But, you know, that's one of those things that we might be at 70 parts per trillion in Wisconsin, but the EPA trumps that. So we have to make sure that we're getting down to that level. And basically all the science that they're sharing is that we should be at non-detect. So I feel good. We're going to meet the federal regulation, and other communities who aren't testing regularly and addressing this issue are going to be sprinting to try and come up with a solution. So mm-hmm. we will already be there, and it will be in today's dollars, not $2,033. Mm-hmm. I would say when it comes to lead service lines, you know, a lot of us as municipalities had, you know, decades of planning to fix this issue. You know, our lead service line replacement schedule was 15 years. You look at some other bigger cities, maybe they're looking at 30 years. So the EPA just a few weeks ago announced, hey, we're going to need all of you utilities to have this done in 10 years. So we are sprinting. We're going to get it done in 5. That's the goal. And so we're going to be ahead of everybody who's in that crush to get it done. We're going to be training the plumbers that they're going to be using across the state and region because we have to. Mm-hmm. So we're also capitalizing on that once in a generation funding through bipartisan infrastructure law. We're looking at Inflation Reduction Act for some other stuff. If we are not sprinting towards those dollars to pay for our needs now, we're just being silly.
Do you have a sense that those dollars are going to go away permanently in the near future? I mean, because obviously we have a presidential election coming up, and of course you have Senate elections and House, everybody up for the House. I think that's maybe something that, you know, as you look towards the future, can you count on that kind of money in the future?
No, you can't. You can only count on the money you have now. And we've already heard some folks in Congress saying, you know, like, oh, let's talk about not spending all of this or returning some of this to Washington or, you know, not spending it, not adding to the debt. And, you know, like, it's a conversation to have. But as long as that's available, we're going to make sure that we're capitalizing on this because we can and we should. And these are projects we would have to get done anyway. So let's go.
We're going to take a quick break and then come back and talk more with Mayor Katie Rosenberg of Wausau. The time is 9:18. I'm Chad Holmes on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. I'm Chad Holmes. Join former Newman Catholic High School boys basketball coach Jeff Gress and myself each Wednesday from 6 until 8 p.m. for the Big High School Sports Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. We do nothing but talk high school sports for 2 hours every Wednesday night. Plus special guests. Each Wednesday, we'll be joined by one of our area high school head coaches, plus a student-athlete guest as well. In addition, Jeff and I will break down what's going on in boys and girls high school basketball and boys and girls hockey in central Wisconsin. It's the Big High School Sports Show, every Wednesday night from 6 until 8 p.m. on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Plus, if you missed the show, just go to bullfallsradio.com/sports or wherever you get your podcasts. Can you feel it? Welcome back. Chad Holmes with you on Bull Falls Radio. It's the Jacksons, 1980. I'm a big 80s guy, so I just pound the 80s music all the time.
Pre-Katie, so you know.
it's not pre-me, I'll tell you that much. We are joined by the mayor of Wausau, Katie Rosenberg, again. Mayor of Wausau, candidate for re-election. Of course, 2024, just around the corner. It's going to be a very busy year in so many different ways. Before we wrap up the water conversation, what we talked about long term, what can we expect short term? Because again, you talked about some of the sticker shock, I would say, for a lot of folks as you look for the, you know, the year 2024. What can folks expect?
Yeah, so we had a pretty good discussion, and you know, some of it was in closed session. We had our special meeting where we talked about the lawsuits just a few weeks ago, and I think what you can expect are council members who want to be very engaged in the discussion over anything that happens with regards to these lawsuits. So the exciting part is that we will be getting money, and not just a little bit. So we'll be able to talk about what does that mean for our investments into this water situation. There's part of me, like, I would love to retire some debt related to this drinking water treatment facility. So, you know, we're going to be doing some of the financial number crunching to see what are the best ways to approach either using this, saving this. You know, we also know that we're only talking drinking water right now. Mm-hmm. We're going to be talking about wastewater. We're going to be talking about groundwater. We're going to be talking about biosolids. We're going to be talking about soils. So, like, we have to be prepared and ready to address some of those issues as we face a regulatory environment, but also as we learn more and want to keep our community safe.
When you talk about that money coming in, I don't imagine that you know exactly what it's going to go towards. Will it go towards rates? Well, as you said, will it go towards different areas?
Yep.
I know you're not a dictator, so you can't decide
where
this money goes. But let's be positive that we're going to have some of these polluters start to pay in. Mm-hmm. Will it affect rates? Will there be a direct payment for folks who have paid higher rates? Do you have any, or I guess maybe your ideas that you may talk about with the council?
So I think, first of all, the council will get to decide on this. We talked a lot about having a segregated account, step one, to make sure that anything related to this goes there and it's not going into a general fund, so that we're able to invest in what we find to be important. So I think that's going to be a council decision, and we're going to have a lot of ideas. You know, we did have people sharing ideas right away. You know, we don't have the money in hand yet. The settlement isn't final. We have some really great ideas. So I really want to be careful about how we talk about this before it's actually here. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's part of me, like, $17.5 million for a granular activated carbon system. Wouldn't it be nice to just retire that debt right away?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have $38 million for a drinking water treatment facility. Is that an option? Do we talk about what that looks like, retiring that earlier? So I think this gives us the flexibility to have those conversations and fight over what is the best use. Where in the past, we would have to talk about borrowing. So it's really great to be able to have this flexibility. And I wish I could give you a direct answer.
No.
You know, I think debt retirement's a good discussion. I think talking about, you know, we have a lot of people talking about rate relief. That's a really good conversation to have. I think we're going to want to talk to our community. What are the expectations here? We want to make sure we're investing appropriately in this. You know, we have a fund that was the from the former landfill where we were able to draw upon for various environmental issues. So maybe that's an opportunity here for testing all of that.
Do you think that, in terms of surprises, sometimes, again, we still, I think fairly recently, heard about another issue within water, but is that privately. There have been these surprises. Like you said, you weren't expecting to deal with a lot of these issues. Are we ahead of the curve now? Or is it going to be something you have to, because you don't want to play whack-a-mole. I mean, that's sometimes, that can be very frustrating. Have we found all the pollution in our community?
Okay, we haven't found all the pollution. I think that's going to be a discussion we're continuously having. But we have the capacity now to have that discussion in a really good way. Now, I would say, as far as it relates to discussions over new rules coming in with emerging contaminants, we are all over that. We're on top of it. We understand the new lead and copper rule. We understand the new PFAS rule. We understand what more they're talking about. And actually, I don't know if I mentioned this last time, but I was just named to the EPA's Local Government Advisory Committee. So we're going to be all over all of those national regulations that we have to be careful for, but also statewide. You know, we're paying attention to the DNR board and all of that. We have good relationships with those policymakers. So, I think we're in a really good spot here, and people are coming to us asking us how we did it.
We got about 90 seconds before a news update. Before, just to kind of put a bow on this part of the discussion, Because, again, I think, you know, when you are talking to folks in the next few months, it could be even at forums, you're going to be asked to compare, you know, again, your point of view, again, towards a slower. Finally, as we put this part of this discussion, and you, I think, explained a lot, how can you explain why we're better off right now than we otherwise would have been based on some of the decisions you made?
Yeah. I mean, in January of 2022, you know, we could have said, hey, DNR, we're not going to test. And we wouldn't know any better, right? We wouldn't have access to that information until we were required to start testing in last October. And so we just wouldn't know, and we would be a year behind. And so at this point, we were able to act. I mean, fortuitous timing, we had that drinking water treatment facility going online, and we were able then to figure out a temporary solution and a permanent solution. So we are better off there, and we are able to capitalize on our story. There's still nobody else in the state that has every single well contaminated with PFAS. Mm-hmm. So people are constantly asking us, how are you dealing with this? How are you putting it at wells? So, you know, we are in a spot where we've had those discussions. We are the subject matter experts at this point. So, yeah, we are a year ahead of everybody else, and we have a new drinking water treatment facility. So you can trust your water. So that's what I hope people come away with.
More with the mayor of Wausau coming up, Katie Rosenberg. But first, we're going to take a quick break for a news update. Find out what's going on around the area, around the state, and around the country. That's coming up. The time is 9:29. I'm Chad Holmes on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And back with the mayor of Wausau, Katie Rosenberg, on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.
Feeling kind of emo with this playlist.
It's I fun. Tell you, it's exactly right. Try to get off to a good start here on this Monday. Another area I kind of went into with one of your opponents last week, Alderman Denny, was talking about the role of mayor. Hmm. And something I know that has been pushed against you because you're not afraid to be, you know, use the bully pulpit. That's how I used it with Mr. Denny as well. Could you talk again about the idea of how you see the role as mayor of Wausau, not just in terms of leading the council at meetings, but generally, how do you feel like, you know, in terms of using the bully pulpit?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, when you show up to an office like this, there's no job description. So, you know, I actually wrote my own job description for myself. These are the things I'm going to focus on. And, you know, during the last campaign, I talked through what that looked like, and I got elected and had to deal with a pandemic and a variety of other things. So updated that job description a little bit. But, you know, I think it's really important that we, as mayors, we are talking to the hearts of people. I think it's really important. You know, there are issues that we care about, but like understanding why we care about that's really important. Understanding, you know, the root of some of the complaints that we get. People are sick of politics, so they don't want you to sit out there like blaming somebody else for something. They just want an answer to their problem. Mm. So being able to solve people's problems is a big part of that role. And for me, I felt like maybe we weren't getting attention here in Wausau like we deserve. I mean, we are such an economic engine for, you know, the central Wisconsin area and then up all the way up to the Northwoods. So I think it's important that everybody knows what we're doing, that we get covered and we get lots of attention from people who maybe want to move here and or maybe want a vacation here. So I think that bully pulpit is really important, is to share, you know, what is it like to be from Wausau? What is it? What do we do? What do we like? What is our community vibe? And I think it's really important to focus on accepting everybody too. I think that's one of those things that's, I know, not popular right now as we talk about defunding DEI and things like that. But, you know, I've heard from more people that they might not agree with everything that I care about, but they're just excited that I listen to them and that I accept them and that I don't care whatever it is that they identify as. You know, I even have some Republican supporters who are like, you know, I just appreciate that you're not going to lie to me about what you believe in. And actually, I kind of agree with you on some of these issues. Maybe not that one, but this one. So, I mean, I think you're kind of the heart and the megaphone of your community. I use that word megaphone a little. Oh, anyway. Yeah.
And also, if you don't say something about it, it sort of implies acceptance, doesn't it?
You're fine with it. Yeah. So I think it's really important to keep an eye on some things that are bubbling up, right? So discussions, like that Community for All discussion was a perfect example. I mean, once that New York Times article was published, I was deluged. Mm-hmm. And people were like, why are you so racist? Me. I'm like, oh my goodness. So that's when we knew as a city, we also had to act, even though it was a county issue. So, you know, those are things that we need to take into consideration. And we can make it as big or as small as we want. We can have really helpful discussions. We've had difficult ones too.
Where do you think we are as a community? Because we've had some, I think, concerning episodes. Mm-hmm. I think some people say, well, it's because we talk about it too much. It kind of makes no sense that if we just, you know, stop talking about all the issues in terms of identity and everything else, well, then people won't, you know, feel the need to push back. When you see something that's, again, just a couple months ago on Halloween, again, just sickening, where are we as a community? Do you think that we, I think in some ways, you mentioned the Times, it sort of puts the onus on us to have a reckoning about where we are. Where are we right now as a community?
So I would say that the majority of people I talk to, regardless of, you know, where they stand on the political spectrum or identities, any of that, majority of people in Wausau are good people. And we want what's right for us and for our neighbors. I think really what we're going through, you know, we spent a lot of time at home with the pandemic. We kind of got in a habit of not being in spaces with each other. And so now you're seeing a lot more, you know, kind of difficult moments when people are out to eat and, you know, people being kind of upset about waiting in line. You know, like there's a lot of, I don't know, crisis type discussions happening in ways that used to just be normal. Mm-hmm. So I think we're kind of relearning how to interact with each other. Meanwhile, we have a media machine who is like encouraging us to get polarized because it's dollars and, you know, donate to my cause because, you know, otherwise these folks are going to be against you. So I think we need to be able to parse through some of those people who are trying to divide us and organizations. And we need each other more than ever. Mm. So we need to come together in a way that's meaningful. And, you know, I have a lot of hope. We've had some hard discussions as a community, but I have a lot of hope that if we keep discussing, if we keep practicing, you know, civil discourse, we're going to get there. We have to. Mm-hmm. The people don't want to see us fighting. They don't like partisanship. They don't like Congress. You know, why would we become locally the local Congress? Why would we do that on purpose?
So. Let's pivot to economics. How would you rate the economy of Wausau right now?
Oh, so it's been interesting because I feel like the pandemic has kind of allowed some organizations who maybe were on the edge, maybe teetering, to decide what they want to do with themselves. Do I want to invest more and maybe try and buffer this up? Or do I want to maybe just stop? Do I want to do something else? Mm-hmm. So I would say we're doing all right across the board. You know, it's been a challenging year. People are changing their habits. And so, you know, you've seen that when it comes to staffing at local stores, restaurants, all of that. But we've also gotten real into kind of online shopping, and we're still getting those tax dollars and things like that. So we're seeing people are still spending money. But it's just in different ways. So how does our local economy respond to that? And making sure that you have a good online presence is really important.
What we've talked about over the months, and I'm sure it's going to be part of the discussion leading up to the spring election, is, again, the housing issues here in central Wisconsin. I guess, you know, even beyond where we stand right now, what's the plan for you when you talk to folks that and how to make it better here for in a second term?
Yeah, we definitely need to build more housing. And, you know, there's some discussion over, you know, there are people philosophically who think that building things like apartments, condos, you know, duplex, triplex is not what we want to do. We should have single family homes. You know, that's really hard in a mature city like Wausau, where we don't really have a lot of the space to grow out. So we have to grow up. So thinking through what are the places that people want to live? How can we make that happen? So I know I've said this before, but By the end of next year, in order to meet the current demand, we need to have 525 units built. And, you know, that's going to be really hard to get done based on, you know, how we're moving and how, you know, there's a lot of stop and go with some of these projects. And, you know, some of it's related to tax credits. Some of it's related to other issues and personalities. So I would say we need to keep pushing on it. We need to keep reaching out and asking for more people to want to invest in us and build apartments. And we're gonna keep getting requests to invest our city dollars into some of these housing projects if we want to, you know, fill that gap. So I think that's an important discussion that we will have over the next 5 months because we got to decide, what do we want to put into this? Do we want more people living here?
And it also, again, we've spoken about how that is truly economic because people will not move here, even if they have opportunities to work here, if they don't have the proper housing. I mean, it really is hand in hand, isn't it?
It is hand in hand. You know, I've heard from folks that people have turned down jobs because they can't find a place to live. And we can't have that. We're a wonderful place to live and work, so we need places for people to live.
Again, we're talking to Katie Rosenberg, mayor of Wausau, here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And along the same lines, as we look forward, we touched on the development here. General development, business development, obviously this has probably caused you more than a few sleepless nights.
You know.
Where do we stand, you know, as we look to the future again? I mean, because it's easy, again, to look at the current situation. But as we look forward, 5 years, what do you think downtown's going to be like? Are you confident that we're going in that right direction?
Yeah, I mean, it's slower than I would want, and I think that anybody wants. But also, that slowness has allowed us to understand the folks that we're working with in partnership a little bit more, which is helpful. Those are good data points to have. More discussion is better. So I think we'll get there. You know, I remember my dad being on city council and fighting for the 400 block and the Jefferson Street Inn and all of that. And, you know, it took a lot of time, and those votes were always divided. And some of them were tie votes that the mayor at the time had to break. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of that. And I would say we're in a different place with our council. We oftentimes are rowing in a similar direction. And sometimes we disagree on like the very specifics of how we got there, but we are pretty aligned in a lot of ways. So, you know, I think that's good. I think we're going to get there. We definitely need more development happening. Right behind me.
I'll be keeping an eye on that.
Okay,
right from this
keep
window.
Me honest.
And you talked about strategic plan.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that was something that was so vital the first time around when you ran for office. And obviously, the big monkey wrench of COVID was thrown in there. What are you looking at in terms of strategic planning now going into a end of your first term and as you try to get a second term?
Yeah, so I can't remember exactly when we voted on this as a council, but it passed overwhelmingly to adopt the strategic plan. And, you know, we have 5 main planks and ways to get there. And so, you know, having a plan is great, but using a plan is better. Mm-hmm. So these are the things I've been talking about with our staff. Like, how do we make sure that we are meeting our strategic plan goals? And I talked to some other mayors across the United States. How are you tracking? You know, we've had some folks who just on their resolution say, this is what we're hitting. This is the plank in the strategic plan or in their memos. So I think we're going to start doing that starting in the new year so that people can actually see, oh, we're addressing this specific goal. So I think that's going to be important. And then we will also understand how we need to pivot some of those goals because maybe something that we decided at the beginning of this year isn't going to work at the end of next year. Hmm. Maybe we need to figure out how to pivot that a little bit. Now, you got me saying the word pivot and I can't stop. I'm like a Friends episode here.
And I guess, you know, going back, it's always interesting to kind of look back at, you know, some of those planks that you were running on. Mm-hmm. What is maybe the plank that you ran on when you first, you know, wanted this job that you're most proud of achieving? And maybe what's the one area that may be the most frustrating aspect that you have not reached yet?
Yeah, so proud, you know, maybe I didn't even realize the number of crises that one person would have to face in an office. And, you know, that wasn't something I campaigned on other than, you know, when it comes to communication. So I think the fact that we were able to get through some of these big issues like COVID, being able to have discussions about how to spend, you know, unprecedented federal dollars, being able to address water issues, being able to talk about this and learn quickly. So I think, I don't know that I campaigned on it other than maybe vaguely talking about communication, but we got through that. So I feel good about that. We used a lot of different ways to communicate with the community. Stuff that I wish I could have done or I wanted to address, you know, I think in general, when we're talking economic development, it's easy to be the challenger. And, you know, I'm like, we need to have this way is how we do development agreements. And this way is how we make sure we negotiate. And this is how we'll keep the council involved. And when you get down to the basics of like a development agreement, oh my gosh, it is crazier than you would expect. And it's just like always sliding in so close to the deadlines. So I think that's something I'm still trying to get my arms around. And I would love for us to have a more cohesive, like, here's your checklist of what you do. And we have a checklist, but it's never the same checklist. Hmm. It is. I think that's probably the hardest part about this.
Always appreciate you coming in.
Yeah.
It's been great 2023. Look forward to having you back when the calendar turns. Enjoy your Christmas and your New Year's.
I'm turning 40, too, so we'll enjoy that one.
Life begins, right? Life truly begins.
Is that what it does?
That's what I've heard, you know.
You tell me. You seem to be living a good life.
I think we're doing okay. Good. We're doing good. Okay. But thanks again for coming in.
Thank you so much.
Mayor Katie Rosenberg of the City of Wausau. We'll come back. You have our daily history lesson coming up next. I'm Chad Holmes. Chad Holmes Show. Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Thanks again to Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg for joining us on the program today. It is December the 18th of 2023, and some famous events have occurred on this date in history. 1865, and this is a big one. The 13th Amendment to the United States Constitution was ratified by Georgia, fulfilling the two-thirds requirement for ratification and banning slavery in the U.S. On this date in 1995, Houston police warned residents that a con man already had sold $25,000 worth of water he claimed astronauts brought back from the moon. NASA assured police there was no such thing as moon water. On this date in 1997, a Wisconsin native, but more famously known as a member of the cast of Saturday Night Live and also a number of comedy movies, comedian Chris Farley was found dead in his Chicago apartment on December the 18th of 1997. He was just 33 years old. On this date in 2012, signatures on an online card for Sandy Hook Elementary shooting victims surpassed 1 million. On this date in 2018, a meteor exploded in a huge fireball over the Bering Sea with 10 times the energy of Hiroshima atomic bomb. And on this date in 2019, the United States House of Representatives voted to impeach President Donald Trump for abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. The impeachment was related to Trump's efforts to solicit foreign interference in the 2020 presidential election. Specifically, Trump had asked the Ukrainian president to investigate Joe Biden, a political rival, and his son Hunter Biden. Trump's administration also withheld military aid to Ukraine, which was seen as an attempt to pressure the Ukrainian government into complying with his request. Taking a look at some of the famous people who are celebrating birthdays today. This man, nobody thought he would live to be 80. Keith Richards, the guitarist of the Rolling Stones, he has lived a hard life, a party life, but Keith Richards still out there performing with the Rolling Stones, celebrating his 80th birthday today. Steven Spielberg, one of the greatest directors of American movie history, Steven Spielberg turning 77 years old today. Movie critic Leonard Maltin turning 73. Also, comedian Ron White is 67 years old today. Brad Pitt. Who would have thunk it? Brad Pitt is now 60. 60 years old is Brad Pitt. Stone Cold Steve Austin, the wrestler, turning 59. Rachel Griffiths. She is an actor. Brothers and Sisters, 55 years old today. Another actor, Casper Van Dien from Starship Troopers. He is 55 years old today. Josh Dallas of Manifest and Once Upon a Time is 45 years old today. Katie Holmes, turning 45 years old today. Christina Aguilera, 43 years old today. Actor Ashley Benson of Pretty Little Liars, turning 34. Bridget Mendler of Good Luck Charlie is 31. And singer Billie Eilish is 22 years old today. And if you out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us at Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Well, some special events being acknowledged this week. It is Gluten-Free Baking Week. It is Cookie Exchange Week, of course. Lots of Christmas cookies out there being exchanged. That's, again, you're going to be putting on some weight just from the Christmas cookies before you even have the meals. So those are the weeks it is this week. Also some days today. This one is interesting. Answer the telephone like Buddy the Elf Day.
Oh, Buddy the Elf, what's your favorite color?
There you go.
We actually just watched that movie last night with the family. It was good, so much fun.
Good timing right there. Mm-hmm. It is also Bake Cookie Day. So don't just buy the cookies, bake the cookies. It's Cookies Day. It is Flake Appreciation Day. I'm not sure, is that a flake as a person or a flake? Because some people are flaky, but also just snowflakes, frosted flakes. I guess we can appreciate all flakes. Flake Appreciation Day. It is I Love Honey Day. It is International Migrants Day. It is Ham Salad Day. It is Twin Day. So if you have a twin, I don't have a twin. Do you have a twin?
I do not have a twin.
Okay, but it is Twin Day. It is, this one I will challenge you to do. It is Wear a Plunger on Your Head Day. I'm not wearing a plunger on my head. That's all I can say. I remember the only time I see anybody wear a plunger on their head is an old episode of The Simpsons where Homer had a plunger on his head. Could not get the plunger off his head. So that is all the special events. Our number for the day is 219. It involves something that is done, a number of things that are done daily by Clark County, Nevada, which is where Las Vegas is located. What does Clark County, Nevada do 219 times every day?
Oh, boy.
So think Las Vegas, County, Nevada.
Is that how many times people gamble every day?
Nope. More than that, gamble. I'll tell you that much. I go to Vegas. There's a lot more people. But this is a lot of people go to Vegas to get married. So 219 marriage licenses issued daily by Clark County, Nevada. So,
Is that the old saying, what happens in
Vegas stays in Vegas. The thing is, when I go to Vegas, I publicize everything I do, because I publicize on my social media how mm-hmm. my poker tournaments are going, so people can follow my activities in my poker tournaments. But that is it. Hey, that's going to wrap it up. Thanks to Katie Rosenberg, Mayor of Wausau, for joining us. Tomorrow, we will be joined by Chad Daly of the Marathon County Public Library. Thank you, Ian Welsh, for being with us as well.
You're welcome. And again, happy Monday, everybody.
And again, congratulations on getting your role in Drowsy Chaperone. Stick around. Coming up after a news update, it is As Goes Wisconsin with Jane Matinere sitting in for Kristen Bry. I'm Chad Holmes. This has been the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.